Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Turn with me in your Bible's book of Hebrews. Hebrews is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Even though it only has 13 chapters, it's one of the bigger books towards the back of the New Testament, because we put it in there with 1st and 2nd John and 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude and all those other little books, and James. But the book of Hebrews, you think of it, when you think of the book of Hebrews, if you've read it or you've studied it, you think of it being about 30 chapters long, because there is so much in it. It's like you go to pick it up, and you pick up a box this size, it's normally this size, with 13 chapters, and you can handle it. But when you go to pick up the book of Hebrews, it's like it's weighted down, it has way more in it than what you were expecting. And the book of Hebrews does that. In chapter 11 in this book, it talks about the honor roll of faith. And the great men of the Old Testament, the Bible says of who the world was not worthy. They walked the earth, and they walked by faith, not by sight. They saw God. They saw His kingdom. They knew what it was to follow Him. And they did. It talks about Abraham left his family and his friends. And then we come to chapter 12. And after it gives a list of all of these men that stood, and they were beaten, and they were cut asunder, the Bible says, and they were hanged. Then it comes into chapter 12. And chapter 12 is where I want to rest today. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you open up this book that seems so heavy. Lord, I pray that you put angel wings upon it, that we might be able to experience it today. We might be able to feel its power, that we might be able to experience who you are through it. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, the first verse says, therefore, since all of these things, all of these men and women, it even talks about Sarah, and they saw the dead raised, and they saw the power of God, and Jacob, Moses, therefore, because of all of them and the Red Sea and the walls of Jericho falling down, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with endurance the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He starts out in this 12th chapter and he says, folks, listen, those folks had something back then. And you have something now. And you're tripping and you're stumbling. He said, we need to see, get our focus upon Jesus Christ. We are encompassed by these cloud of witnesses that have went on before us, that have stood the faith. They saw the miracles of God. And we sat back and we say, God, if you would just do some of the miracles that you did in the Old Testament. God is not only capable of doing all the miracles that he did in the Old Testament, he still does them today, because God is still God and he still works inside men. And here's what he says, verse 21. And so terrifying with the sight of Moses, said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the immemorable company of angels, to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, who is registered in heaven to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect, to Jesus, mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. He said, I want you to know you have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion was a place where God dwelt. Mount Zion was a place where they had to put a barrier up because if people came up to it, they would die. Mount Zion was the power of God. And he said, those of you in the New Testament, those of you who have seen the resurrection of Jesus Christ and experienced Christ coming into your life, those of you who are a new creation in Christ, you have already come to Mount Zion. He said, the barrier has been taken down. Not only what they had back then, but you have even more today. And it's time to stop playing church and it's time to start being the church. God came to change your life in these four walls so that you can change the world outside of these walls. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. Somebody says, oh, preacher, read me out a revelation about John the Revelator. He saw Jerusalem coming down, and he saw all of these things. He saw streets like glass and eyes like fire. Tell me about that. That's nothing. He was explaining what the church was. He said, you have come to the city of God. Listen to this. But you have come to Mount Zion into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Doesn't say you will come. It doesn't say someday you'll come. Doesn't say you'll die and go there. Doesn't say that you'll die and be resurrected and wait 1,000 years for it. He said, you have come to the Jerusalem. You can live there. What are you doing living out there? What are you doing with all the problems of the world out there? God said he has brought you here that you can experience him. If this church is going to do what it needs to do, it needs to become that city that sits on a hill. And it can do that if we get Christ in here. If we start believing and walking and teaching and don't let what the world says influence that walk and that teaching. The church is so compromised today that it looks like a city they used to call Lutz in the Bible, Luz, which meant almond tree, which the name was changed to Bethel because Jacob had a dream that night. He laid his head down on a rock and he saw the angels ascending and descending from heaven. And he said, I did not know it before, but surely God is in this place. And you may not have known it before, and we may have ignored it most of our life, but God is in this place. God is in this place. And when we recognize it, then we can see the angels ascending and descending. And they come down to heal. They come down to meet our needs. They come down that we might meet others' needs, that we might be equipped to win the world. Why does this altar fill with people on Sunday mornings? Because we have seen people healed. We have seen the power of God. We have seen the angels come down. We've seen the prayers go up. And we have felt the touch of God. And you say, well, preacher, why doesn't he touch every situation? Why do bad things have to happen to good people? Well, let me explain it to you this way. Jesus had to carry a cross through Jerusalem down the streets. He had to be beaten. He had to have his beard plucked out. He had to have a crown of thorns put up on his head. He needed to be nailed to a cross, and he needed to die that the whole world could see him die so the whole world could be alive in his resurrection. Bad things do happen to good people. But we can walk through those bad things if we see who Jesus is. We can walk on the water. We can walk above them. Why? Because as the Bible says, you have come to Mount Zion. You have already come. And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Angels. Now back, it wasn't that many years ago. There's a big thing about angels. People that weren't even believers in God, they weren't even Christians, they were talking about angels, spiritual things, and they wanted to get into worshiping of angels. We don't worship angels, we worship God who created the angels. He's the master. But the angels are there to hear and to answer and to go with us. We're encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses, of testimonies. We have angels that walk with us. Have you ever known when an angel was with you? I have, because you don't have fear. I've had to stand up and speak in front of many different crowds. And one thing I sense is it isn't just the Holy Spirit within me, but it is a calmness that the angels are standing around as security guards ready to shut somebody up if they want to speak up. They're there to protect you and watch over you. And you say, but preacher, I've had a terrible time. What does that say about that? Does it mean that I'm not living right? No. It means you're not living right when you doubt that they're there. It means that you're not living right when you doubt that Christ is with you. When you can keep your eyes set upon Him and your heart set upon Him, you can walk on the water. Just as Peter did. Because you have already come to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. You've come to church. And your spirit will bear witness with my spirit. And that counts more than anything goes out there in the world. You know what I like about this church? No one's really jealous of what somebody else does. If you do, you don't last too long. Because that isn't the Spirit of God. It'll put you on the outside looking in rather than on the inside looking out. But people here, they want to do and seek what God wants. We may not be the biggest crowd in town. I'm not concerned about that. God will send the numbers that He wants to send. What I am concerned about is we get it right from the book. That we get it right from what God wants us to do and wants us to be. And He wants us to be that city that is set upon the hill. He wants us to be Bethel, the place of God. Jacob said in Genesis chapter 28, and Jacob awoke out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? There is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone that he had put for his pillow and set upon it for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the time, L-U-Z. You know what Luz means? Almond tree. Want to know something about an almond tree? It isn't a nut tree, it's a fruit tree. It's a fruit tree that bears nuts. We need name changing. The church needs to be called the house of God. And Jacob, I always wondered about this, why he laid his head on a rock. Why didn't he lay his head on some grass? You know, why didn't he lay his head on his arm? He laid his head on a rock. Because if you want to get anything from God, you're going to have to start with a rock. And that rock all through the Bible is Jesus Christ. And we are founded on the rock, and it is that foundation, and He is the cornerstone of the church. We would not have a church without Him. So you can't not preach Christ and have a Christian church. If you have a Christian church, you must preach, you must be born again. Now that upsets some people. You've got to preach, you must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is the door to heaven, and that door is open through the church. He says this, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all. We're registered in heaven. My name is written down in heaven, and it's mine, and I know it's mine. And the white-robed angels sang the story, a sinner has come home. Know that song, There's a New Name Written Down in Glory? I know it well because I sang it when I was a kid, and it's still true today. And when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is written in the blood of Christ. So you're already circumcised with circumcision made without hands. You're a cutout, and you've already been seated in the heavenlies with God, and you reign in the New Jerusalem, and you're supposed to work in the New Jerusalem right here in this church, and the world must see the spiritual part of the church. Not just the things that we do. They must see us pray. They must see us sing. They must feel the Spirit of God, and they can't feel it if we don't feel it. It is in His righteousness that He reigns, not in our sin, in His righteousness, in His holiness. You say, well, preacher, being righteous and being holy is a difficult thing living in this world because there are so many temptations. There aren't any temptations. Tell me about one. I was in the Navy 4 years. I'm not tempted to go into a bar. I'm not tempted to do drugs. You don't have to be tempted to those things when you're resolved that you live in the city that sits on the hill, when you're resolved that you live in the New Jerusalem, when you're resolved that you are here, not there. Therefore ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. From here on out, we should see the angels ascending and descending upon us. Because Christ is in us, and He is the hope of glory. Ezekiel chapter 9 says, the angels are ascending and descending upon the city, and they're coming for warfare. We are in a war, and the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's nice to know you're on the winning side. Have you ever went up? We used to have debates in our class on about science or about history. And remember that game, Trivia Pursuit, that they had several years back? Isn't it nice when you sit down, you know the answers because you know you're going to win? You know the answers. When you sit down to take a test, the test is not a challenge if you know the answers. Think of it as the war is not a real battle for us because we've already won. We already have. Jesus said that He has put it under His feet, and the last thing He'll put under His feet is death, and I can't wait till that day. Because I'm tired of people dying. I'm tired of going to funerals. But one day you can make sure you'll come to mine or I'll be at yours because that day is appointed that the man wants to die. And that's going to happen, and it doesn't matter what age we are, it's going to happen. Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, we all know that by bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out upon you blessings, that they will not be room enough for you to receive it. And I will rebuke and devour for your sakes, so that He will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. He said, you are the city, you are the church, you're the city that sits upon the hill, you are the New Jerusalem, you are the one that the angels are descending and descending into the church. You should feel an awe when you walk into the sanctuary here. You should feel an awe when you drive upon the property here. You should feel an awe when you meet the people here, because this is the place, and there's no other place anywhere near this place like this place. So this must be the place. Amen? And He said, because of that, I will rebuke the things that Satan throws at you. I will rebuke the world for you. You think it'd be a fight? It's not going to be that much of a fight for you to walk away from some things. Put some things in your life. Matthew 16 says, and He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We don't need to worry about the church. We don't need to worry about whether we're going to be taxed or not. We don't need to worry about whether they're going to pass laws on us or not. The Bible says whether you're on top of the ground or underground, you are the city on the hill, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. So quit worrying about it. Let's just go out and do the job. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are in a war, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, because the church is a gate to heaven. If you're not experiencing it yet, you need to get in the Spirit so you can experience it. You need to realize what it is to be a citizen in God's hometown. Not waiting till you get to heaven to grasp it, but right now grasp it. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ because you have been born again. You're a new creation in Him because you've been born again. You're part of this. It isn't what we build here with the outward structure. It isn't how pretty it looks on the inside. It's about the job that we're doing. Are we the city that sets upon the hill, that the church that the angels ascend and descend in and out of? I think we are, and also think we can do better. Let us stand and let us pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know your background. I don't know your life. I know very little about most of you, but I do want to ask you this. When I talked about being born again, I talked about being saved. What that is, we accept Christ into our life. We actually experience His resurrection. That He died, that we're no longer tied to this world, but we can be tied to that heavenly home. We can be seated with Him in the heavenlies. And all we need to do is ask the Lord to forgive us of our sin, come into our heart, and save us. That's what being born again is. 3,000 were saved in just a short period of time in Jerusalem, right in the center of town. So I want to pray a prayer this morning, and you just say it between you and God. God knows your heart, the Bible says. I don't know your heart, but God does. So from a prayer from your heart, you'd say, "Dear Lord, I have been tied to the world and the things of the world. Lord, help me to take my citizenship in heaven. Forgive me of my sins, and I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Help me from this day forward to live that out, to experience who You are. In Jesus' name, amen." With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just for a moment, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you prayed that prayer. God knows and God heard, and your life will change. People around you will notice it. The people at your work will notice it. The people at your school will notice it. And those you're married to will notice it. Because your life changes in Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, I've been changed. Lord, help us not to deny the city that sits on the hill. Help us not to take church with a grain of salt. This is real business here and real life. And help us to take it serious, so serious that it becomes the first thing in our life, not the second or third or something we add to our portfolio, but the first thing. And might You have the glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.